Digital Music. Digital Music Trends, episode 92, 16th of December 2011. Hello everyone and welcome to Digital Music Trends. I hope you're enjoying plenty of mulled wine and biscuits in the run-up to Christmas. And this week the show will be focusing on Last.fm and features an interview with Matthew Hahn, the company's VP of Product. We talk about the evolution of Last.fm, its API policy, how the Spotify app development came about, their partnership with Microsoft on their new Discover platform at last.fm/discover, and also about location-based charts and plenty of other stuff. So I'm really happy to welcome to the show today Matthew Hahn. He's the Vice President of Product at Last.fm, and you know I've been trying to get him on the show for a while, so it's a real pleasure to be here and to have him on the show. How's it going today?
Very well. Thanks thanks very much, Andre. I'm very happy to be here.
So let's start with your background at Last.fm. You've been here, it's pretty much a year anniversary these weeks. And so where do you come from? What's your background and how do you end up at Last.fm?
Sure. I started off way back when in San Francisco as a journalist, where I used to cover digital media and technology for Macworld magazine, a lot of online stuff. And I helped launch Macworld Online back in 1993, 1994, on AOL and on the internet, which was, on the web, it was a new thing. So it's kind of, I go way back at this. I then ended up working for MSNBC on a television show web project called The Site, which ran in San Francisco for a couple of years, before leaving that to join, to move to New York, actually, where I joined Universal Music right as soon as Napster arrived. So it was kind of an interesting arrival, where I then spent 10 years working for Universal and Sony, kind of back and forth a little bit, and came to London in 1996 permanently to drive digital distribution for Sony. So helping to prepare for Europe and Asia, the Sony Music's international distribution strategy. So building products for them. I ended up doing quite a bit of direct-to-consumer work for them. So working with Drupal to build artist websites, e-commerce products, and a whole lot of CRM and direct sales tools for the record labels. But then I kind of hit a wall, I think, with those guys. I got tired of, after a year of not getting as much done as I wanted to get done. I think the woes of the record labels are well known. But after working with about 400 different services across Europe and Asia, I had a pretty good idea of who the good companies were. I worked with everyone from Nokia to Apple to Amazon, everyone, all the minor carriers across Europe. And the one place that I knew I wanted to be, it was pretty easy for me to make a choice, and that was Last.fm was top of my list. Yeah. So when the position came open at Last.fm last year, it was ideal for me. And I was really happy to make that change and make the move for a service that I've used since the beginning. And being able to hook up with the Last.fm team and to build a new product team here, which is what they asked me to do, was just a perfect opportunity.
And in terms of Last.fm as a company, the definition of what you do is in a way stayed the same and in a way changed a lot. Yeah. So it's kind of hard to pinpoint exactly a definition of Last.fm, but would you try to attempt on something? Yeah.
Yeah, I can try to do that. I think the thing that hasn't ever changed, and I think this goes back to Richard Jones' days as a university student, is the heart of what Last.fm does and will always, I think, be is the notion that we're a personal service that uses your music listening history to make your music experience better. Right. So whatever we do, we've ever done. So we've done radio. We still do radio. We've done on demand. We've done wiki-based pages. I think ultimately that stays at the core. Scrabbling stays at the core. And what we do with the data is also just as important as collecting it. I think lots of people are going to collect listening history data from lots of places, but nobody, I think, does what we do with it, which is to turn that right back around in the form of great recommendations and in the form of a great community. And that really, if I try to define us now in a single line, I think Last.fm is a global music community that is powered by its listening behavior to give you great recommendations.
Yeah. And one of the challenges for Last.fm has always been, in a way, to get out there and get people to use it. Because once people use it, usually it's, you know, it's pretty mind-blowing. People are like, oh, it's great, you know, I'm going to keep using it. So it's just making them understand what the company does and what the service offers. Yeah. And one thing that's been amazing, like, from the last couple of weeks is the, and it's part of a wider number of products that are going to come out from Last.fm is the Spotify announcement and the Last.fm app within that. So that's one really great way for you to gain a wider visibility across a more broad audience as to what the company does and get them interested in the service. How did that whole thing come about, and how did you end up like within some of the first companies that have collaborated with Spotify on the launch?
I think it starts back when Spotify started, right? I mean, Last.fm was the first service that they integrated, the first third-party service they integrated. And that was at the demand of their users, right? I mean, it was when they told us that, you know, the most requested feature for Spotify when it launched was scrobbling to Last.fm. So I think, you know, the hardcore music fans have always known about us. And, you know, we're not small now, right? I mean, it's 40 million users. It's not a small number of internet users who know what Last.fm is. I think the challenge has been is over the course of the years, you're not the shiniest thing on the block, and this is a very trendy space in which music companies come and go. But the constant for Last.fm is always, we've always been there. And you know, someone once called us the granddaddy of music services, right? We predate iTunes. So, you know, you kind of have to be there, but you aren't always the shiniest thing. Yeah. And to your point, I think the value proposition has changed over the years. So who is Last.fm? What do we do? I'd like to think in this last year we've started to change that. And you're right, the Spotify app's a great expression of what we do in a very clear message. Yeah. It was also an opportunity, and one we were excited to get from working with Spotify. Their engineers were as excited to do this as we were. That was kind of one of the things I knew this was going to be a good product when you have everyone in the Spotify company and everyone in Last.fm all fighting to get playing with the beta and early versions of this. We really had to, we tried to keep it tight over the summer and not let the news out, but it was really hard because everyone in the company, both companies were using this app. Yeah. And it was fun, right? It's you know when someone loves something so quickly, and that's been the response from everybody who plays with this, is that you instantly understand what Last.fm does.
Yeah.
I used to say to people, you know, when I was first a Last.fm user, I didn't always know why I scrobbled. It wasn't really clear to me sometimes. I did it because I liked the data and I'm a geek that way. But for normal users, I think what the Spotify app does and what I think other applications that we will release through the coming year and more work we'll do this year, it shows you that the payoff for scrobbling is a super personalized music experience, right? And that's to me that, you know, everyone can do recommendations at some level, but no one can make it as personal as Last.fm does. Yeah. Everyone can have an algorithm that does similar artists, right? But no one does what Last.fm does, which is to make it personal. Yeah. Someone described it, I love this metaphor actually. When you get into an expensive Mercedes or an expensive car and you plug your smart key in, the mirror changes and your seat moves forward and the radio station knows what you're on. That's how I want that to feel when you plug into a music service with Last.fm.
Yeah.
I want you to feel like it's my service now, right? Yeah. My favorite artists, my favorite tracks, my history comes with me. It's a passport or a fingerprint when I arrive on these services. You know, and I think that's something we can do, and it was also why I think the deal with Spotify was so natural, right? We both win out of this. I win clearly in terms of user acquisition and making existing users happy to expand their music service across more than one place. And we're really part of the internet that way. We're part of your music experience across that, which is really strong. And we're very, very happy with what results we've seen in the beta period, which has been small. If we see even close to what the beta looks like when we go to mainstream, the champagne corks will pop. So we're excited. We are excited about how well we've done with this.
Yeah, and it's of course, you know, it's great. It's great for Last.fm, but I think even better for Spotify, because I mean, my main bugbear with Spotify has always been that it lacked a music recommendation service. And this was a very clever way for them to bring in recommendation services into the platform without having to actually spend a huge amount of money, which is required to build an infrastructure like that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that a lot has been said about, are they just taking your crown jewels and walking away with them? And I just don't view it that way. And neither is the conversation we've had with them, right? You know, I believe that this was a natural fit. We do not do music on demand. We tried that. We went down that path. But that's not what we do. We found we're strongest in, we're focused on what we're strong at this. And that's being a great community with the top curators and top users of this. And what I'd also say is just giving you context and meaning around what you listen to. You'll see this a lot when we talk about charts and our best of. It's really I think there's a whole lot of data being flown out into places like Facebook, and sharing is crazy right now, right? The whole frictionless sharing, I think, is a very noisy space. And what Last FM does by making it personal is to find that signal in the noise, yeah, to find you what's important. And if we can do that across all your musical experiences, and I don't know about you, I do a ton of local playback. I play through iTunes. I play through my Android phone. I play through Spotify. I listen on the website. I use Hype Machine. My listening experience is all across the web.
Yeah.
And the thing that's powerful about that is Last FM is also across all those experiences.
Yeah.
And that's not going to change, right? Any of these individual sites that do recommendations, it's really good. They do a good job of it. I don't believe anyone does a job that we can do on that.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. So let's talk about something new that's coming out actually this week. It's been announced this week, which is the Last FM Discover. So what is that all about? What is the idea? What's the partnership and how does it work?
Yeah, so we've had a something in our playground, which is where our developers have always played, called Rec Explorer for a certain length of time. What Rec Explorer did was to take that powerful recommendation engine we have and apply it to the 2 million streamable on-demand tracks that we have in the Last FM Music Manager. Yeah. So Last FM works with, you know, 500,000 different unsigned or independent artists who have a lot of rights to their music, where they upload directly into Last FM.
Yeah.
They're able to then have those played on our radio.
Yeah.
They'll be able to have them on demand on their artist pages, and they're able to make them available as free downloads.
Yeah, and that was just been announced maybe like a year and a half ago, something like that?
Yeah, we've always had them.
It's funny. Okay,
so we worked with MP3.com recently to make those more available, but they've always been there, right? And they've always been really popular. This is a way of exposing those in a better way and to bring the recommendations to that 2 million or so tracks we have there. These are great artists, right? But, you know, sorting through 2 million unsigned artists without some help is a challenge.
Yeah.
So what we're doing with the Discover app is to create a kind of a cutting-edge interface. And I think of it almost as an experiment or almost like a Google Chrome project, in the sense we're working with HTML5 interface and a full screen interface. And we got some money from the Microsoft innovation team to help us to do this. So there's some folks in the UK who wanted to make a great HTML5 experience that would also work really well in IE9, but that equally works in Chrome and Firefox, and it's got to work everywhere. The IE9 guys will tell you it works better in IE9, and I think that's fine. We also want to make sure it works everywhere.
Yeah,
so
sure.
We're very happy to partner with those guys, and it does work very well in IE9. But for us, it was really more about just bringing those unsigned artists to life, right?
Yeah.
And to have them reach more people.
Last
FM has always been a champion of the unsigned and the new artists. We're about discovery.
Yeah.
So being able to bring those guys up was really important to us. I'll show you the experience in a minute, but essentially what it is is an HTML browser that allows you to find HTML5 browsing experience that lets you discover music by tag.
Yeah.
Last FM tags are deep. They're collected by our users. There are all kinds of different ways that those tags are used. Some people use them to do, I want to tag this as rock or jazz or just standard genre stuff. But other people use them to really put a personal spin on how they categorize their music.
Yeah.
So some people will say, this is music I listen to on Sunday mornings. These are plays with less than 2,000, these are artists with less than 2,000 plays on Last FM. We have some really crazy ones under death metal, like, brutal, evil death metal from the, frozen wastes of the north kind of tags. And they're really long and crazy. And there's some really fun, idiosyncratic ways people organize music. So we wanted to bring that to the surface and let people explore those. And we think that's going to be a really fun way to do that. We also wanted to make this available worldwide.
Yeah.
One of the real challenges with any listening experience online is all the silly record label restrictions, as if the internet's not global now.
Yeah.
Because these guys have got their own rights, we said, look, this is everywhere, anywhere in the world. Uzbekistan, Tonga, wherever you want to listen to this music, it's available worldwide and globally. And it's a huge catalog of music, right? Some of it's challenging. You're not going to find – There's some diamonds in the rough, and there's some just rough bits in there as well. But we think that by using your personal recommendations and your personal tags to explore those, we think we're going to help you find the stuff you care about. It's also just a fun experience.
Yeah.
I think that's something that's really worth saying to people is play with this. It's really a playful experience that we find as we've tested this that users really love. As I said, it's a full screen experience. It's more about clicking. We see it translating very well to touch screens in the future, and tablets, right? That's kind of what it's made for.
Yeah.
You can also do something I think really cool with that, which is to drag and drop the ones you find, the gems you discover, into a little mixtape or a little mixed playlist. Oh, nice. So we're creating a little mini playlisting tool that you can then share to Facebook and via Last.fm sharing, as well as to Twitter. Yeah. And what the people you share it with get is a very clear playlist back of the things you discovered. So they get a playback experience that works worldwide, and it's an on-demand, you know, share. You can read about the artists on this interface, and you can learn more about the artists you just downloaded.
Awesome. That sounds really cool. And it's definitely, you know, with all these services that are coming out, the emphasis always ends up being on well-known names and well-known artists. So it's nice to have a platform that sits aside from the main service and gives visibility to the artists that wouldn't get it otherwise.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny because we also see, you know, it's not just record labels aren't spending what they used to spend on marketing, just straight out, right? I mean, I used to work at them. I know what we used to spend. And unless you make a million sales on it, they're not really going to spend much time on you. So you've got to be able to market yourself, or you need to be discovered by people who love to discover stuff. And that's who this product is for. These are for the people who want to know what's next. It's the trendsetters, the people who love to share and discover music. And so it's not everybody wants that. You know, what's that phrase? Like 1% create, 9% of people curate, and the other 90% benefit from that curation of those people who love to discover stuff.
Yeah, sure.
I think the Last.fm is actually more than 9%. The audience is probably higher than that. We think that a lot of people who listen to Last.fm are in that curator category.
Yeah.
So it's a natural fit. People like to share this stuff. You know, we also think that as people use this and they discover great bands, they're going to champion them. So bands have gravitated this over the years. We've got tracks from Bon Iver and the Leisure Society we just recently did. So Last.fm, when, you know, it's not always just unsigned and totally obscure artists.
Sure.
A lot of people love to put this music in who are signed, right? Yeah. And from major labels who are just trying to break a new artist or happy to reach the audience we have.
Of course.
So I think I'm curious to see how other, I'm inviting the major labels to do this as well. It's not like it's just all indies, but they need to accept the terms that we've said to them, make it worldwide. You know, that's how the internet works. Don't pretend it doesn't.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to see who else uses this in the coming months.
Cool. This kind of leads us fairly directly into a conversation about classifications, curation, charts, mm-hmm. and how you make sense of all the data that you're getting into Last.fm.
Yeah.
So you also have something new coming out on that front to help categorize and classify how people are listening to music.
Charts are a natural way for us all to organize, to know what's next, right? You always want to know what your personal charts are, which Last.fm does really well. I mean, we'll tell you what you've listened to a lot recently this week and your whole history of how long you've ever listened to stuff. But to me, what's really interesting is two other dimensions that I think we can bring to this, which we will be launching over the next month or so. We have a new charts launching on, actually by the time this goes out, there'll be a new chart section, which will be slightly redesigned, but it's mostly back end. But when we launch Best Of in January, I think we're a couple of weeks into January, you will also see the ability to organize our charts by two new vectors.
Yeah.
One of those is location, right? The charts for Milan or Modena are very different than the charts for Brazil, for Brasilia or Rio de Janeiro or Melbourne or San Francisco or Boston. Right, they've all got a different perspective. Yeah, you can imagine that Katy Perry and Rihanna are going to be up there, but you're also going to see local acts and bands that are important locally. So the ability to focus by location and filter out, tell me what's going on in what's the sound of Barcelona? What's the sound of, Moscow, St.
Yeah.
Petersburg? Those are all really important things to us, and we're unique among the services, I think, that we've always been out there. And because we scrabble from so many locations, you can get that data. The second one is by tags, right?
Yeah.
So I'd like to be able to know that, you know, I don't really care what the top 40 is. I haven't in years. Those charts are based on what people buy and what radio play happens, and they tend to be just very commercial in a certain sense. That's not to say that popular artists don't come to the surface, but, and they definitely do, our top end of the year stuff always includes some of the top artists, but it's really based on what people listen to. So by being able to tell me what genre you care about, so if you're a grime fan or you're a dubstep fan or you're a Cuban jazz played by, you know, Vietnamese immigrants fan, we should be able to give you a tag for that, because that's what Last.fm's tags are good at. So where we have enough data, we'll allow you to filter by tag. What I love about this is it starts to create a better picture of your musical world, and it's very personal that way. So if I live in San Francisco and I'm interested in Cuban jazz, I can now see what the Cuban jazz charts for San Francisco are.
That's great.
So if you know, and to me, this also starts to surface who are the local scenes. It starts to add real value when you to people who care about music, and maybe don't care about what everyone in the world cares about, but they care about who their world is, people in their world. So both of those things are really important. That also, I think, leads us on in a good way to do more personal charts. And I can't talk about some of the things we're doing there now, but I'm very excited about what we'll do in terms of personalizing the charts and allowing you to post what I think is a very curated world view of what you're listening to, rather than just the fire hose of data that people seem to be spamming everyone with listening data to these days.
Yeah, definitely. And it kind of like brings me to think also there's a play not only on the B2C front, but also on the B2B, just in terms of bands being able to classify, I didn't realize that in this city there was a really big scene for the music I'm doing, so I could actually plan to do a gig over there.
Yeah, and I think that's a really good point. I want to be better as a tool in general for artists, especially small artists and upcoming artists. And again, I can't talk about something we haven't released yet. I want to, but we have got some really good stuff that I think we're going to help those artists to better pinpoint their who their audience is, where they are. And to support them better. Those who use the Music Manager especially, we hope to really unlock a lot of value for them.
That's great. And just to like generally talk about quickly HTML5 and the development of APIs and stuff like that, probably the first big service to launch with an API framework was Ardeo last year, and they did some really great work. Well, no, it was this year actually. Still,
yeah.
It feels like a while ago. It was earlier this year, and on Spotify has followed up with their own version, which is more like of a storefront type idea, and it seems like a lot of companies are going to jump on the bandwagon now because they realize the potential and the usefulness of having developers work for your company without having to actually do anything about it. So this is really going to be a fantastic development for Last.fm, especially as more services realize the importance of recommendation and helping users to actually discover more music. So are you quite psyched about that?
I really am. I mean, Last.fm has always been a pioneer of API, open APIs, right? We've, in some ways, maybe our APIs have been too open. You know, we always put it out there, right? Our site is powered by the APIs that we put out. So it's been a very open platform, and some people have taken advantage of that. I look forward this year to making sure that the value is on both sides of the equation, just as Spotify and Ardeo have done. We don't make an open API for the streams that cost us money to let you build a business on streaming. But we do think that the similar artist APIs, the information APIs, some of those things have really worked well for us, right? As you said, it makes the ecosystem bigger. And we're a part of that foundation. We always have been. We don't intend to charge for those, right? Yeah. My goal is to keep those APIs open where we can, where it doesn't cost us money to make them open, but to make the ecosystem bigger and to make sure that Last.fm is woven into the fabric of many music services. Yeah. We've always done that. We'll continue to do it. I think we'll do it with more focus, and I think you can see that from some of the products we've already released that we're good at it.
Yeah, and you were saying at the beginning of the interview that Last.fm has always been there, so it's one of the, it's probably like the only company that has been there consistently throughout the development of digital music experience. And in a way, it's always been ahead of its time in terms of user behavior. And I think only now, like this year and next year, we're going to start seeing users catching up to really what Last.fm is all about.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. I mean, it's something that a lot of the geeks have kind of known how powerful we are. And now I think as this goes into more mainstream services, it's almost like Last.fm inside, right? I mean, Intel inside, or that we're powering a lot of experiences. We always have. And I think as users become more familiar with us through the Spotify app, through API hacks, they see it in Music Hack Day, any of those places, they just know that Last.fm as an ingredient makes their music experiences better is a really strong feeling for us to have. And from a developer perspective, you know, we've also been able to hire really great talent for that reason, right? There's no shortage of new people coming in to want to work at Last.fm, right? We're known as a place that developers want to work. We're known as a place that pushes the edge on this stuff. even in the years when we weren't as shiny, you know, as people have forgotten, there's a new service and they run off. I think LastFM has always been one of those bedrock services that just keeps getting better.
That's great. Well, thanks a lot for your time, and I'll pop some links in the show notes about the new announcements and everything like that.
Absolutely. I'll make sure the link will be out there. It'll be LastFM/Discover is where you'll find this new experience for Discover. Charts are where they always were. They'll just be a little prettier. And by the time East goes out, Spotify, I hope, will be just about to release wide their App Store, which we're quite prominently placed in. So you shouldn't have any problem finding that in the App Store.
Well, that's all for this week. I really hope you enjoyed the interview. Again, you should check out last.fm/discover, the Spotify app, and the charts section at Last.fm, with lots more to be added in the coming months. Don't forget that you can follow me on Twitter. The handle is at DGMusicTrends. The show's website is www.digitalmusictrends.com, and you can also access it via the iTunes Store on your computer or on an iOS device. SoundCloud at soundcloud.com/digitalmusictrends and Mixcloud at mixcloud.com/digitalmusictrends. There are also some great apps to keep up to date with the podcasts on the go, such as Downcast for iOS and Dogcatcher for Android. So make sure you check them out if you feel frustrated by having to sync with the iTunes library every time. Have a great week, and till next time. Digital music. Digital music.